friend of God, he calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You call me friend. Jesus has his table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna in a feed and supplies their every need. Holy sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Instruments gonna play through this next verse. Turn to your neighbor, smile on your face, and say, good to see you.
Came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found the heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. The sea satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. All will be a glorious sight. All the saints are spotless white. And with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry thirsty land.
this morning. We've got a good group of visitors. We're return visitors more than anything, but there's a couple of brand new faces, and we welcome you this morning. One of their ushers are going to get by there and speak to you and welcome you, and they will hand you a packet. Please fill out the card in that packet and drop it, either leave it lying in your pew or get it in the offering plate. And that just kind of tells us who you are, and we're certainly glad that you chose Bible Baptist this morning. And do want to take a moment to just congratulate Brother Landon and Georgia Williams, brand new, Mr. and Mrs. Georgia Williams, Mr. and Mrs. Landon Williams, I'm sorry, got a week of marriage under their belt, and they're still set together and everything. Everything like that. So anyway, so thankful you're here this morning. We'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then get right back to the singing. Okay, Terry Sackett, will you lead us, please, sir?
I think you may be seated. When life lets you down, you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words, you can't tell a soul. I may not know what you're going through, may not can make that high mountain move. One thing I find, I really want you. It matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the maker and giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. To share the burdens you bear.
Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. Invent your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or your really needing an answer if it matters to you. It doesn't only matter to you if it matters to you.
Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, we love you today, and we're so grateful for all that you do for us. And God, thank you that everything we do matters to you. Lord, my prayer today may be for that one or several that have walked through these doors this morning. They feel alone. There may be someone here today that feels no one cares about what's going on in their life. But God, you do. You know all the circumstances, and God, I pray for healing, if there's healing necessary. I pray for restoration. Lord, whatever the need is, I pray that you would meet that need in a very powerful way. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris, and as he comes and preaches the message that you've put upon his heart for this very hour. I pray that you'd anoint him with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd give him power this morning. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd move among our hearts today. I pray that you would convict where conviction is needed. I pray that you'd comfort where comfort is needed. And God, I pray that all of us would be drawn closer to you today by being in this service and singing these songs and hearing this wonderful message that we're going to hear in just a few moments. God, I pray that you'd move mightily amongst us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? On it should all knowing he counts not their son. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. My sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise our Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patient would wait as we constantly grow? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger sins they are many, His mercy is more.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Christ is calling, find refreshing at the cross of living waters. Lay your life down, all the old gone, rise up in these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters. Spirit moving, mercy washing, healing in these living waters. Lead your children to the shoreline. Life is in these living waters. There's a river that flows with mercy and love, bringing joy to the city of our God. There our hope is secure, do not fear anymore. Praise the Lord of living waters.
Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, this morning to be in your house, to be able to study your word and call upon your name in prayer, to lift our voices to you in praise. Lord, we're privileged and blessed to be able to fellowship with one another as a family of God. We're also very fortunate and blessed, Lord, that you bring people our way each week, new faces, people we're able to meet, get involved with their lives, Lord, and get acquainted with. And I just pray, God, that you'll bless each and every one of our visitors this morning. More importantly than anything, we're so blessed to be forgiven of our sins through Christ Jesus. Be regarded as your child for all eternity. Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you'll give us understanding and discernment and open ears and open heart and open mind to what you might have to say to us. That you'll direct us to these truths, Lord, and make them very clear to us this morning, that there be no question when we walk out of here of what we've heard. We know, Lord God, that it's only you can speak. I'm just a man. But your spirit can lead me and give me the right words, Lord. And certainly your word, as we read it, is very accurate and true and eternal. So I ask your blessings, Lord, over the rest of our time. Lord, we have many children in the back. Bless their services as well. Bless those that are hurting and those that are going through difficult times. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll draw those who don't know you to you, Lord God, that they might be saved today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you so much for your love and mercy. Holy Spirit, please have your way. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been talking to you about hearing from God, allowing God to speak to us. Each time we open our Bibles and read, each time we hear the Word of God preached or taught, these are opportunities for us to hear from God. You're here this morning in the house of God. You've given Him an opportunity to speak to you. And without question, He will speak. Not because I'm the preacher, not that has nothing to do with it, but because we will read His Word and we will discuss and learn about His Word, and that is going to allow us to hear from God. So what if we do hear from God? Is that going to be life-changing? Is that going to alter anything? Well, it could be, and it very well should be, but it really hinges on whether we go into step two or not. Step one is God speaking. Step two is you and I hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "Be ye hearers of the Word, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In other words, he's saying, if you just hear the Word of God and you don't put it, you don't respond to it, then you're deceiving yourself. I don't think anybody in their right mind would intentionally deceive themselves, but there's a meaning to that phrase that's pretty interesting. It means to miscalculate. What happens when you miscalculate something? You come up with the wrong answer. Now, hear me out on this. If you and I as a person hear the Word of God, but it does nothing for us, we don't respond to it, we don't act upon what we've heard, then we're going to get answers that we weren't expecting. We're not going to get the results that we desire. We're going to be disappointed. We have miscalculated, okay? Is it because God didn't do His part? No. Is it because the Word of God wasn't read or taught or preached? No, it has nothing to do with it. It's because we didn't apply it. Matthew chapter 7, we begin in verse 24. This little parable is very, very helpful this morning with this subject. It says in, Matthew 7 in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon what? A rock." Very solid, okay? "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Had the right kind of foundation. Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand," something very unstable. "And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and the beat down upon this house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I want you to notice that there are two builders in this parable, a wise builder and a foolish builder. One had a well-built house, and the other had a very unstable house. You know, the reality of it is each and every one of us are building a life here on earth. At all times, we're building a life. It starts out at a very young age when most of the building in our lives is based upon the decisions of those around us. When you're a little baby, it's your parents, your family, maybe when you get a little older, your teachers and your Sunday school teachers, coaches perhaps, playmates, babysitters, contemporaries of any kind. In other words, the world around us is having a big part in building our lives when we're little guys, okay? They say that the most formative years of a child's life is from birth to 8 years old, because the physical, emotional, and mental development of a child is at its height during that period of time, 0 to 8, okay? And well, think about this for a moment. It's in those years that we are just subject to the decisions of others. The people around us are determining what happens in our lives and what we're exposed to. So I say to you, parents, this morning, choose wisely. Or grandparents, if you have influence on your grandchildren, choose wisely, because what you choose for your child in those formative years are going to be very impactful on their life going forward. You did well this morning. You have them in the house of God. That's a very good choice. There's a lot of choices you'll make. You made a good one this morning, but don't underestimate every choice you make going forward. The importance of your actions in regarding your child are infinitely greater than you probably realize at this moment. We were blessed last weekend to have a brand new grandchild born into our family. Dixie Downer arrived in this world, and man, she's pretty, and don't you say she's not. She's pretty. Dixie Downer, she's in the world. And by the way, she has perfect attendance in church. They got out of hospital on Monday. They were here Wednesday. They're here this morning. I expect they'll be here tonight. She's on a roll. Perfect attention, okay? Attendance, rather. But one of the protocols, I just learned this, one of the protocols of the hospital during a child's birth is as soon as that baby is born, she goes directly into the arms of her mother. She's not cleaned up. She's not held by others. She's not weighed and measured. She's laid on her mom's chest and has to remain there for at least 1 hour. That's a protocol they have. There's something about the skin-to-skin contact and the rhythm of the mother's breathing that helps that child begin to adjust to their new world. Now, that's just a microcosm of what will happen over the next several years in her life. Those around her will control her environment, and that will impact her as she grows up and becomes an adult. In fact, the experts say that even in the womb, a child is influenced. Studies recommend that parents should read to their unborn babies. This is something Trish and I took very seriously with all three of our kids, only we figured that an unborn child couldn't tell the difference in TV and reading, so we just watched a lot of TV. But what choices we make for our children will impact them going forward. And if you have a little child, right now, you're helping them build their life. In fact, you're building it for them right now. They're too young to choose. Then there comes a time we get past those most formative years and a person begins to think for themselves and make choices for themselves. They get to experience a certain amount of independence. Teenagers, you're going through that right now. You're in that stage. Think about your choices. Think about your habits, your environments, because you're building a life, young person. You're building your future, whether you realize it or not. Think about it like a house being built. You're the builder. You're determining what is done to the house and what's not done to the house. You're the one that determines what kind of material is introduced and used in the construction of the house. So who your friends are, what your attitude is like, how you react to authority in your life, how you respond to your parents, your teachers, your grandparents, policemen, any other authority in your life, that's just like a hammer, hammer, nail, nail. You're affecting the life that you're building. Amen. If you decide to try alcohol, very bad mistake, because you're introducing some very shoddy material into your life that you're building. You decide to hang out with the party crowd or start looking at pornography or decide to skip school or begin to tell lies. Those are things that are going to affect your life going forward. You're putting terrible material into the life in the house that you're building. On the other hand, young person, if you're humble, you submit yourself to authority, you keep the right attitude towards parents and other adults, that's good material. That's very good material. You're building right. Church, the Bible, prayer, owning up to your mistakes, taking responsibility for your life, being diligent, making your grades, going to youth group, keeping it clean with your girlfriend or keeping it clean with your boyfriend. All of this is material going into and creating a very strong life. You may think it doesn't matter that much. But the day is coming when you're going to see how great a well-built life is. And you'll look back and say, I thank God that I allowed the right material to come into my life. You'll discover what Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So if you're not in your formative years of life and you're not a teenager this morning and you're nothing in between, it would be reasonable to say that you're an adult, okay? Well, guess what, adults? We're still building our lives. We're still at work on putting our lives together. Even if we're older and we're kind of on the tail end of things, it's still we're building. And how well we build is determined on one thing, according to the words of this parable. Verse 24, it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise servant, servant. Go down to verse 26, and it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I shall liken him unto a foolish servant or builder. What's the determining factor? The determining factor is whether we apply and put into practice what God's word says. When we hear God speak to us, if we will take that and integrate that into our value system and let that control the way we think and let it shape our behavioral patterns and establish our worldview and dictate how we interact with others, all of that will result in a well-built life at any age. And a well-built life will stand when it's tested. Notice what verse 25 says, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Do you want stability in your life? Do you want something that's solid, unmovable? You want something that will weather the storms that come at you? Then hear the word of God and do it. Does that mean that it's going to be easy? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Because it says the rain descended and the winds blew and the floods came and they beat upon the house. That's not easy. Storms are not easy. It's not a matter of if storms are going to come. It's when they're going to come. It's been said that we're either in a storm or just coming out of a storm, or a storm is approaching in life. Storms are inevitable. We can't change that. It's just part of the human experience. But in this parable, it says we will weather the storms when we've built our house well. Both builders, wise and foolish, face the storm. Storms are out of our control. The frequency of the storm, the intensity of the storm, those things are out of our control. We have no influence over it. If you get out here in the South Plains of Texas on a summer night and you look in the southwest and you see a thunderhead building and come in this direction, there's not one thing you can do about it. There's nothing anyone, all the power on earth can't change that storm coming. It's the same way with some of life's trials. I've seen families and individuals get blindsided by life in ways they never dreamed would ever happen. People who are believers, people that love the Lord, people who live good lives and try to follow the will of God. But that didn't stop the storm. The winds blew, the rains descended, the floods came and beat upon their house, but their house stood. They couldn't prevent the storm, but because they had been hearers of the word and doers of the word, they had well-built lives, and so they weathered that storm. On the other hand, I've seen it the other way. Someone who, by all appearances, seems to have a solid built life, but when the big storm hit, it becomes evidence that that was not the case. Because when the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew, everything fell apart. It just went to pieces. You see, if you just drove down the street and saw those two houses in this parable, you might not be able to tell any difference in the two of them. It could be that by all appearances, they're just as good as one's just as good as the other. But that's not the case, because the quality of the construction, that's what's going to tell the tale. Sadly, as a pastor, I've had the front row seat when storms have hit many people's lives over the years. That's a privilege I have, but it's also a tough thing to watch. I could tell you, I won't, but I could tell you about individuals or families that used to sit right there where you are in these pews. But they're not sitting there anymore. They're not sitting in any church anywhere anymore because a storm hit their lives and their lives were not well built. And everything began to fall apart. Now they're mad at God. They're disillusioned with the church. Or their family is not even together anymore. Whatever the circumstances, the fault is not found in God. The fault is not found in the church. The fault is not found in the storm. It's found in the fact that they were hearers of the word and not doers. They didn't build well. They deceived themselves. They miscalculated, as James chapter 1 says in verse 22. You see, they thought they could just go through the motions, sit in the pew on Sunday morning, say their little now I lay me down to sleep type prayers, and they've done their spiritual duty. Just check a few spiritual boxes. Give their life a little spiritual curb appeal, if you will. That ought to be enough, right? When a trial came, they discovered that that was not enough. They had miscalculated. They had deceived themselves. They didn't get the results they wanted because they didn't build the way God said build. Don't let that be you this morning. Don't let that be your family. Maybe you could, up to this point, you're God's speaking to you right now through this. And he's saying, hey, that's you. You're not building your... It's not too late. You're going forward. You're still building. It's not too late to begin to build right. So as I close this lesson, I want to kind of give some spiritual construction lessons, if you will. Life building 101. First of all, we have to start out with a good foundation. You see, the wise builder built upon a rock. It's speaking of bedrock there, an outcropping, if you will, of solid rock. And he built his house upon it. That rock is all heaven and earth couldn't move that rock. The foolish one built his house upon the sand. Sand is very unstable. I can take my hand and swipe through a bunch of sand and just scoop it right up. It's very unstable. The foundation is the most important element in our building process. We have to start with a solid foundation. Everything that follows is a waste if it has not been done on an unmovable foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, who is Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Don't think for a moment that you can build a spiritual life without first knowing Jesus. I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. Starting to going to church, that's a good thing, but that won't do it. Doing good works, that won't do it. Reading your Bible, that won't do it. Praying, won't do it. The Bible says we've got to be, Jesus himself said, you must be born again. We've got to be saved. We've got to be forgiven of our sins. We have to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. There has to be a place and a time in our life that we made that choice. We made a conscious decision to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever goes to church shall be saved. It doesn't say whosoever does good work shall be saved. It says whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a one-time, born-again experience. What about your first birth? You know it took place, right? There's not anybody here that doesn't have a birthday. Everybody knows their birthday. That's because there was a place and there was a time that you were born. We know it took place. There's a record of it. So let me ask you this question. What's your spiritual birthday? What's the day you were born again? If you can't reflect back on that, you don't have to know a date on a calendar, but if you can't reflect back on a time and a place that you called upon the name of the Lord and put your faith in Him, then you don't have a spiritual birthday, meaning you're not born again, meaning that you are not a child of God. You have to come to grips with that. And you need to do something about it. It's not too late. When you take your last breath and your body grows cold, it's too late. But it's not too late now. You're here. You're living. You have an opportunity to make that choice. Jesus has to be your foundation. I want you to come to church, whether you're a child of God or not, but I would rather you come to church and find Jesus and continue to come to church. Because you can't build your spiritual life. I want to see you every Sunday morning, but you're not building a spiritual life until you get the foundation of Jesus Christ. So Life Building 101 says you got to have a good foundation. You got to know Jesus, okay? The second thing is, when you're building, you got to have good material. When you're building a house or barn or anything else, you got to have straight, true material that'll last. In our spiritual lives, that's where the Word of God comes in. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever." The only thing that we can build our spiritual lives with that is sure, that will never fall apart, that will never collapse, is the Word of God. It's imperishable. It's eternal. It lasts forever. And if you and I are eternal souls that last forever, and we are, we're eternal souls that last forever, then it would be very wise to build our life with material that lasts forever. How are you doing in gathering material? If God's word is what it takes, how much material are you gathering from day to day? How can we know what Scripture says if we don't open our Bibles? How can we know what Scripture says if we never have it taught to us or spoken to us by a Sunday school teacher or a preacher, or if we never do any kind of devotions that get us into the Word of God? It doesn't matter how you get into the Word of God, just get into it. Whether it be daily reading, whether it be in Sunday school, whether it be in Sunday worship church or Wednesday night, or memorization of Scripture or devotions, or listen to audio going down the road preaching or whatever. You got to get in the Word of God. It says in verse 24 and in verse 26, they heard the Word. They heard the Word. You've got to hear the Word, okay? The third step in construction, you got the foundation. You're gathering the right material. You're getting God's truth. And now it's putting it all together in our lives. You see, we got to take the material that we've gathered and we got to put it together in our lives. We can't just, you know what, when you drive by, my son's a house builder, but we all see construction going on. You see, on a construction site, you just start seeing suddenly one day they're laying a foundation. It was a bare lot. They're laying a foundation. Come by in the next few days, that's been poured. You start seeing the material stack up, right? And it begins to stack up. Next thing you know, the house begins to be constructed and the material begins to get applied. And suddenly, at one point, you just got a house. We're the same way. We've got the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're hearing the Word of God. We've got to take that material and build with it. You've got to apply it truth by truth, principle by principle, nail by nail, board by board, so to speak. And then our life begins to come together very strongly, very stable, very solid, like the wise builder in this text. We're taking what God says and we're doing it. I want to ask you a few questions. Brother David, you guys can come. You don't need to answer these questions to me, but you need to be honest with yourself and you need to be honest with God as you answer these questions in your mind. How is life building going right now? How's your life building going? Are you getting the right material? First of all, do you have the right foundation? If so, are you getting the right material? If a storm hit right now, Would your life hold up or would it fall apart? Only you can answer that question. Are you on the right foundation? If you're not, you need to know Jesus personally. Please don't leave this building without first coming and talking to me or talking to somebody in this church that you know knows what it means to be a child of God. We will help you come to know the Lord Jesus. Call upon Him. But once that's been done, those of you who are here and that's been done, how has the construction been going? You may be here and you say, Brother Chris, I'm not gathering the material. I don't take the Word of God seriously. I don't spend time in the Word of God. I'm barely here at church. I'm barely reading my Bible. I'm just not getting the material. Well, that can change right now. Start gathering right now. You say, Brother Chris, I hear the Word. I'm here every Sunday. I hear you preach. I even go to Sunday school. But you know what? I hadn't been applying this to my life. Material's still out on the yard. It's not even been put together into a life yet. We'll start building. Grab that material, nail by nail, board by board. Grab the Word of God and start applying it, principle by principle, truth by truth, and start building your spiritual life. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, please, 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 you walked into this house not knowing Jesus, but you can walk out of this house knowing Him for all eternity. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if God's spoken to you about anything, you come. Start building, folks.
You have come for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all of it, all to rest live. Is your love on the altar of sacrifice?